Wanted to say a couple things before we get to the meat of what we're doing this morning. And let me do these really quick. I'm sorry that this is kind of a lot of information, but number one, I have a marriage exhortation for you. I have been running into a lot of marriages that are struggling lately. Great missionary people. I don't know if you know that. They struggle in these places, and everybody struggles because, listen, God's a relationship, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And relationship is really how he engineered how family and the church would work on planet Earth. And the closest relationship, the most intimate relationship on planet Earth is a husband and a wife. So thus, there would be trouble there. God ordained relationship. The devil hates relationship. And the gold is really found in relationship. And so marriage is tough, you know, just trying to figure it out and be together. And there's some in here that you've had broken situations. Some of you have endured through that. And, you know, we're at all different kinds of levels. But I'm really talking to everybody when I say this. I'm asking you to focus in on praying for a fresh vision for marriage as the foundation of how you walk out that relationship. What I mean by that is I kept sharing with people this Ephesians 5, 31 through 32. And this is just a tiny little deal that deserves five sermons. But what I'm asking you to do is to have a little bit of a season of praying for a fresh vision of why God designed marriage. And it says here a quote out of Genesis 2 that man will leave his father and mother, and they're going to be joined together, this man and woman. They'll become one flesh, the closest relationship we have on planet Earth. But then it says, this is a profound mystery. And it refers to Christ and the church. You've heard that at multiple weddings. You've probably heard sermons about it. But that's a glorious statement about this temporary testimony, which is called marriage. And what I mean by temporary is in heaven, in the age to come, we won't be given to marriage. We're going to be in resurrected bodies, and it's a whole new order of things. But now there is this man and this woman thing going on, and you know how that's being attacked in our culture. And we are to have vision, I believe, at a higher level than just building our family, having a house, having some kids, getting a job, and having a retirement. I don't think that will help you endure through the day-to-day doldrums and the weaknesses that you will surely see in the people around you. You've got to have a vision higher than, hey, I'm just married to this person and we're working together to have a life together. I think the foundation of our lives together has got to be based on a fresh vision of what marriage is. Marriage is a living testimony to Jesus and his church. You can know that theologically, but there's something different that happens when you know it in your heart. And you know that you're living with this person and you're having to go through the brokennesses and the weaknesses and the failings, but you're knowing that there's more than just getting through that day. There's a greater thing at stake, which is the testimony of Christ. Anything that God puts his blessing on and designs, he gives anointing for enduring through. Now, I know we in our weaknesses have some trouble with that. Some people radically fail. Some situations are unsalvageable on this side, and that's part of the process. But listen, everyone in this room, married, divorced, single, you can still get this Bible verse into your heart. As you pray for marriages, as you go through marriage, as you maybe are getting married, I really am asking that you would get a fresh vision that's bigger than just your little family, that you would see the kingdom purpose for your marriage. So again, you can endure the trials. Of course your marriage would be attacked. The devil hates it. You know why? Because he hates Jesus. He hates Jesus, and he hates Jesus unioned with the church. He's working for it. So he's on a mission to attack your marriage, not just to cause you mess in your little situation, but to cause a break in the testimony to the heavenly realms. And so this is kind of a heady thought, but I felt like I was supposed to shoot it across the bow. I'm encouraging missionaries and other people. We want to work on skills and how you work together. There's all kinds of marriage principles and things to do. We really do. But I'm telling you, this thing will be something that will fuel the engine of your relationship with someone if you really get it. This is a living testimony of Christ and the church. And when you do that, faith begins to rise, and I believe help will come at a fresh level. That's all I got to say about that. You pray about that. Number two, I have a challenge for New Life. If you've noticed, we don't have membership. I can't even imagine having membership. We really don't want you to be distracted with any other membership except membership to the kingdom of God. But let's just say we did have membership. If we did, it would look a little something like this. This would be the challenge, and I'm bringing it before you, and it's a New Life challenge. I'm asking everyone, and this is so stinking basic, But this is discipleship in what we're doing here. And I know you probably all want to do this. Maybe you are doing this. But I'm asking everyone to consider a deliberate act of your will to commit to walking out these basic three things right here. We know from our Bibles that there's not just a gift of evangelism, a gift of intercession, that everyone's called to the three things I have up here. When you sow into them on a regular basis, life begins to manifest. The enemy's against you doing these things. And listen, some of us charismatics and spirit, I don't know what we are, we evangel, I don't know what we are, but when you're led by the Spirit, sometimes we can say, I'm waiting to be led to do some of these things. Listen, if Jesus said it in his word, you have the leading. You have the leading. He said, make disciples. You don't have to pray, Lord, would you like me to make disciples? No one needs to spend any time in prayer about that. No one needs to spend any time in prayer. Lord, should I have intimate time with you? It's clearly in the Bible that he's called us to abide in him. He's called us to pray with one another, and he's called us to make disciples. So often in Western Christianity, we're trying to do everything we can to make a painless discipleship process. It doesn't exist. The discipleship process involves you having to go against the momentum of your flesh often with John Smith, who's one of our disciples over there, Jonathan's disciple. He's the guy who's in prison and been born again. He's just witnessing to everything that moves, but he's been having great divine appointments lately, and he says, you know what? There's no way around, Sam, that there's an awkwardness to beginning to engage every divine appointment. The issue isn't that we're not having the divine appointments. It's that we're not wanting to go through the wall of awkwardness to get to the divine appointment. Listen, it's tough to skip a meal and fast. It's tough to get out of bed when you stayed up late that night before and to go to a prayer meeting. It's tough. I get it. It's hard. But the stuff that's most valuable usually is hard. So what I'm asking you to do, in the spirit of the song we sang, I have decided to follow Jesus, I'm giving the community of New Life this simple challenge. I'm asking you to commit. I'm not going to waste a day, no matter how busy I am, no matter how trouble I have. I'm going to have a moment of intimacy with Jesus. Please decide now. Listen, God won't do for you what he's called you to do. You must pause. You must pause and have the moment to sing the worship song, to take the Bible verse and to meditate on it, to begin to engage yourself in prayer. Please don't turn around months later and go, gosh, I need to spend some time with the Lord, all right? You can do this day by day. I'm 35 years into doing this. 35 years. By the grace of God, mostly unbroken. My heart is enlarged in my love for Jesus. I want it bigger. But listen, it didn't happen in one day. It's day after day, literally thousands of times doing number one and number two, having enlarged my heart. I'm asking you to build a history with God. We don't need a book to encourage you or to tell you that this is the right thing to do. Here it is. The Bible calls you to moments of intimacy with him. I want to encourage everyone in here to consider attending one prayer meeting a week. We have about 10 to 12 right now. We're about to have 14 to 20. And they're just going to be corporate moments. If you can't make one of our corporate moments and just make the adjustment to get there, then create one. Create a prayer meeting and tell us about it where you pray for revival and you pray for the kingdom. But I'm asking you to consider attending one prayer meeting every week. And number three is that you would share the gospel with one person a month. Now, at least, may the Lord use you to do more. But I pray for some discipline for us. Listen, when Jesus stands in front of that rich young ruler and he says to him, this is what you lack. He knows he lacks. You lack. You're into your money. Sell everything you have and go give it to the poor and then come follow me. I think that there could be sometimes spirit-led people would say, Jesus, you're putting law on him. You're putting law. Do you remember what that young man did? He walked away sad because he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do the hard thing. Jesus didn't say, get rid of all your money. You're going to love it. It's the easy thing to do. He said, get rid of it. It's basically stealing your heart and follow me. To the one guy that said, I'll follow you, but let me go bury my dad. What did Jesus say to him? You may remember? Let the dead go bury their own dead. I want you to come follow me. That doesn't look really spirit-led, meaning what we think of is it feels good. Listen, there is no way around that discipleship is denying yourself. It means denying some sleep, denying food, denying doing certain things you were going to do before. There's no way around it. It's going to take some commitment. The difference between a disciple And a consumer is a consumer waits for everything to be handed to them and looks for the easier and easier and easier way. The disciple decides to take up their cross and go after him. You don't need to come to our prayer meeting. Go to First Baptist prayer meeting or go to the Assembly of God. I'm not building New Life. I want to build disciples. And disciples, everyone looking at me today, everyone, there is no way you get joy and fullness in the Christian life unless you fully walk out the life of a disciple. All in is the only place you get all joy. It really is. And there's always usually a door of pain and sacrifice as you walk through that. So I made my appeal again. I don't know any other creative way to do it other than I'm asking everybody to commit to daily intimacy with Jesus. If that's 2 minutes or 20 or 2 hours, I don't care. That you would try to consider attending one prayer meeting where you pray with the body of Christ, and we're about to tell you why you need to be praying because something happened this week. And then thirdly, that you would consider and pray about, God, give me a moment to share the gospel with a lost person or a prodigal, and I know the Lord will open those doors. Amen. Amen.